One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Craig Scheman, Pete Shepherd, Southwest Florida sports leader, 99.3 ESPN on a Friday. Glad you can be with us here.
Christopher Cross.
This is a good one.
Your fave.
Classic.
One more. Pete's favorite. This is a toe-tapper like for me. I do like it.
It's pretty good.
First time I heard this song was in the movie Sing.
I thought you were going to say the first time I heard this song is when I played it 30 seconds ago.
No,
the snail sings it.
Who?
The snail in the movie Sing.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one was Sing? I get them all lumped together now.
That was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, animals sing.
Penguins?
No, penguins.
Oh, there was a time where there was a penguin in every movie.
You always say penguins.
Yeah.
That was more the Madagascar craze.
There was the Madagascar craze, and then there was the actual more...
Freeman narration of the penguin movie.
Yeah, there were a lot of penguin movies come out. However, I will say, out of animation movies, one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen were the penguins in Madagascar. I don't know if this is Madagascar 1 or 2. They ended up taking a wrong turn, and they end up in Antarctica, and they're staring silently at a blizzard. And all of a sudden, one of them goes, well, this sucks. I laughed out. I might have been the only one. I laughed out loud in the theater because I hate snow and winter so much.
You LOL'd?
Yeah, for sure. For real.
That's how you said it. You didn't even laugh. You went LOL. LOL. Yeah.
To Curb Your LOL. Enthusiasm episode.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Yeah, well, why do you say it? Why don't you just laugh out loud?
Yeah.
Well, I am laughing out loud. I'm saying LOL.
That's pretty good.
Oh, good news. Josh Allen questionable now for the Bills.
Oh, does that mean things are improving for them or not?
Also, Dez Bryant not expected to play Saints take on Cincinnati on Sunday.
I've heard that story go back and forth all day.
Not surprised.
Yesterday,
though.
No, he's not playing. Today, this morning, I heard, well, he might. He had a good practice yesterday. Now the report is no.
Yeah. So Josh Allen may play Sunday, or it may be Nathan Peterman.
That actually makes that game pretty interesting.
It does if Josh plays.
Never mind, because Darnold's out as well. I keep forgetting about his foot injury that mysteriously happened.
Exactly. All right, let's update our poll on Twitter at 99.3 ESPN because we got into discussion about who is the most, what do we say, sensitive fan base?
Yes, which fan base is the most sensitive?
Like if you criticize them, they go nuts, right?
Right.
Cowboys, Steelers, Patriots. I thought Notre Dame would be on here, but I guess
we did NFL. We did NFL teams.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, Notre Dame started the conversation,
yeah,
but okay.
That's all right. Over 211 votes already. Which fan base is most sensitive at 99.3 ESPN Radio? 45% Cowboys, 30% Patriots, 25% Steelers.
Well, okay. I think we picked the right three for the poll.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's nobody else in the NFL, right?
No. Raider Nation, when they were good, might have slipped in.
Yeah,
we could have probably.
It's been so long since they've been good.
They've just been beaten down a little bit. They're kind of quiet.
Got some funny responses on Twitter.
Okay.
I don't know how to say this guy's name, but it says, I'm a Pats fan and agree. We are the most sensitive.
Yes.
Gary tweets at us, haters gonna hate.
With a nice emoji.
A stick figure with a Patriot head on it.
Funny. That's actually funny. Nice.
That's just some of them.
That's good. All right, speaking of sensitive fan bases in the Dallas Cowboys, we have been critical of the Cowboys. Former Cowboys have been criticized, the Cowboys. Troy Aikman said they got to redo the whole organization.
Now the youths of America are criticizing.
We have a 7-year-old that has fired off a tersely worded letter to Jerry Jones.
Does it say, dear sir? I actually haven't seen this letter yet.
I haven't physically seen the letter. I've just seen quotes and bits and pieces of it.
Oh, I got to find it because I'm going to read
it. So if you could find it, that'd be great. But in a nutshell, the kid is telling he's tired of the Cowboys stinking. He's tired of his mom getting all up in arms on Sunday. Every Sunday ends with her turning off the TV in frustration. He says the team stinks. Referenced Garrett. Boy, he's probably going to clap his hands with enthusiasm on the sideline again because that's all he does as a coach. What do you got? All right, go ahead.
All right. This is Ryland Wood, 7, penned a letter. Dear Mr. Jones, this is all like a 7-year-old would write. My name is Ryland Wood. I am a 7-year-old second grade student in Mansfield, Texas. My family has been Dallas Cowboy fans since the team was started. I have a
lot
of Cowboy. You did a lot, right? Did it with two words, like you should.
Yeah.
A lot of Cowboy gear, and I have met Zeke, Jason Witten. I can't see this other one.
Taco Charlton.
Okay.
Former Michigan player.
And two other players who played on other teams. You have made my mom very mad because we suck. And he put, we suck in capital letters. This is like right out of South Park. Exclamation. Every game day, she is yelling at the TV and turns off the game. We are wanting to believe in the boys, but it's hard. I hope Coach Garrett, in parentheses, in quotations, is clapping if this letter gets to you. See what happens when Dez X is gone, ? The cheerleaders are better than the team this year.
Well, that's true.
I do not want to hurt your feelings. Thank you, Ryland.
Now, was that...
I don't want to hurt your feelings. That's
Was that handwritten? Or
yes.
Handwritten.
Real quick.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry should send him a couple of tickets. That would be the classy move here.
Oh, I think Jerry will not let this opportunity just fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, Jerry could be mad. Jerry doesn't like to be criticized. So
I think a seven-year-old, you spin it around and turn it into a positive.
Bring him kid's in. Banned for life.
You would ban him for life?
No, I wouldn't, but Jerry will.
I think Jerry should be the bigger man and give his whole family some VIP treatment meet the players.
I think he will.
That would be a good deal. I don't know if he wants to meet Jason Garrett or not. That could be awkward.
I do not.
Or you know what? Bring him in for the Thursday night game against the Saints.
Yeah.
And give him a New Orleans Dez Bryant jersey.
There you go.
That'd be a nice move.
Very sincere.
Speaking of the Saints, we all saw the viral video this week of Drew Brees at bedtime with his kids, right?
Yes.
Beautiful
throwing
home,
footballs
throwing little footballs, doing a little drill in the family room or wherever. I'm sure the mom was all upset. Getting them all fired up before bedtime. I know how that goes. So that was good Father of the Year material, no question about it. Then we see this story that is out about, I believe this is a Welsh under-8 soccer league. There are a bunch of kids playing soccer. There's a goalie, a little kid under 8 years old, who isn't really paying attention. And the dad, I don't know if this is the dad who is a coach or the dad is the dad of this particular goalie or dad on the team, but he's standing behind the goal. And he sees the ball coming, and his kid's not paying attention. He's not even in the net. And he shoves him. And by the way, blocks a shot with the shove as the kid lands into the ground.
A little shove.
Not, oh, yeah, yeah. He
didn't go to town on him.
He tapped him.
It's
a love tap.
But when you're you're three or four.
Unfortunately, the rebound got kicked in for the goal. But this is going viral all of a sudden now. So is that good coaching or bad parenting?
Well, I'll tell you what, one experience, I was 7 or 8 years old, my second or third year playing hockey, youth hockey, right?
Yeah.
So the goalie was the coach's son. We're losing like 6-0 in the first, 5 minutes.
Pull him.
They're not going to pull him. Because, in peewee hockey, you have one goal. You know, actually it goes midget, peewees, bantam, squirts. Squirt hockey.
Yeah.
But that's how it's like Little League, but T-ball, but not, it's more than that. We had some pretty good players. One guy made it to the AHL on my team that I play with.
Wow.
But the goalie's son, he was tying his skate. The coach's son. From the opposite goal line, the kid fired a shot, and it went in because our goalie was tying his skate. And honest to God, it was time for a line change. I jumped off the bench, and I skated full speed towards him. I think I fell once. I was so pissed. And I clocked him dead in the head.
Really?
Yeah. That's a rational
response.
I did.
How old were you at this point?
And I went back to the cuts, and I was like, if he's not going to care, then get him out. I'll play goalie. Give me the pads.
So you took out your kid that's tying his shoe, escape?
100%
during the game. During the game. Well, and let a goal in from the opposite end of the ice.
If his skate is loose, he's not going to be effective.
By the way, we lost 11-1, by the way.
Oh, so that mattered.
Yeah.
No.
It mattered. We were down 6-0 early because he couldn't stop anything.
He still got outscored 5-1 the rest of the game.
He was afraid of the puck.
So did you say, Coach, I'm going in?
How
or did
old
you
were
just
you?
Go, yeah.
Eight. Eight
Come
or nine.
On,
this
Pete. Feels more like 18.
Eight or nine. No. Trust me. There were other guys that took a shot at him, too. Our people were my teammates were livid.
And what
livid.
What did the parents of this young man say to you afterwards?
Nothing. The coach said his name was Carl. He's like he goes Carl.
Coach Carl.
Yeah, he said if you don't pay attention, you're coming out. All right, he paid attention. He still sucked, but
least he tried at that point, right?
Well, 11-1.
I'm not saying I didn't do an Apollo Creed on him and knock him. I'm saying I went up to and shoved him in the face. I'm like, get your head out of your butt.
Wow, you're eight.
Eight, competitive. No, I don't want to. I don't care if we lost. I care about how we lost.
Well, you got to remember, there were no participation trophies at this point in America.
But 1975. You don't let a goal in
second
from,
grade.
You don't let not no
second grade
no,
when
no,
you're
no,
eight.
No, second, third. It was third grade, and it didn't matter
unless you got held back.
We'd all played together at least 2 or 3 years already, and I never saw a goalie not care so much. I don't care what to let a puck in from the opposite end of the ice. No.
In
unacceptable.
Second grade, I could care. I was out just
not
having fun.
When you're tying, you don't letting it in because he tried is one thing. When you're tying your skate and you know you're tying your skate, and it takes you 2 minutes to tie your skate. When it should
well,
take
yeah, he's got
two,
all that equipment
no,
on.
No, please.
I'm taking the goalie side
stop
of this.
It.
You beat up some poor 8-year-old because his shoe was untied.
It.
Which, by the way, happens every 5 seconds
no,
for boys
no,
who
no,
are 8 years
no,
old.
No, it does not. Not in New England playing hockey, it doesn't. My ass, it does. It's highly competitive.
Chris,
from
how
a
many
young
times
age.
Did you tie your kid's shoe this week? It happens all the time, right?
Oh, you know what? We go Velcro.
Oh, okay. Good move.
Yeah.
Heady play.
Yeah.
You know what? Never tied a skate again during a game.
You are a bully.
No,
you
I was not a bully. His coach was more livid. His coach was, livid. When it happened.
So he sent
livid.
The goon out, Pete Shepard,
no,
to go take
out.
Him out.
The line changed, and I went up and had a little chat with him. So not just me. Another guy hit him harder.
I actually had to start putting Everett in rubber shoes to wear to school because he kept peeing in his pants and ruined his shoes.
Oh, my God. Is he still doing that?
No. He's good now. Like at school, at least.
Well, there was this summer he was going everywhere.
It's the weirdest thing. He doesn't pee at school. He just holds it.
Well, some people have an aversion to using the bathroom at work.
Some, I guess.
Moral of the story, you police yourselves in these trying times of youth sports. You police yourselves sometimes.
I'm not looking forward to youth sports.
Well, that's out of control now.
So it's like, you're going to be the coach, right? No, I'm not going to be the coach.
I coached a little bit because I wanted to do
one. Drive myself insane.
Yeah. I had fun, but.
You're more patient than I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't hesitate to bench a kid.
Here's the problem. I coached my daughter's my daughter was a lot more involved in sports than my son. I coached my daughter's softball team, 1 year as head coach and 1 year as assistant coach. And then 1 year my son as I tried numerous different sports with him to see what would stick. And 1 year we did tennis. And we were at the parent meeting that one night, and this was more of a volunteer league, and all of a sudden, all right, we need a coach for this team. I don't play tennis. There were three moms at the table with me and me. And they all look at me like, all right, you're the dad. Now you're the coach. I never played tennis. Huh. I still can't. I can't hit it straight. And now I'm coaching the kids in tennis. So, but that was
how'd you teach it? Did you like go home and buy like, you know, tennis for dummies and get on YouTube and watch some tutorials?
They
some
were
training
pretty
videos.
Small kids at the at this point. And it wasn't the, not the dad's club, not the boys.
Boys and Girls Club. YMCA.
Yeah, YMCA. This was a YMCA.
Or CYO. One of those, yeah.
So, look, I was just, they were small. I just tried to get them to volley, you know, two times in a row without hitting it sideways.
Sure, right. Nothing wrong with that.
That's all we do. I mean, I wasn't firing 80 mile an hour serves at him.
But I want to know why little Joey's not John McEnroe right off the bat, right? I mean.
Well, seriously, but that's how you get a Serena.
Yeah.
You just fire tennis balls at him. I mean, hard.
Serena was from Compton. She was dodging other things, too.
Yeah.
Bullets, tennis balls. You know.
No, Watts, right?
Yeah.
Watts.
Yeah.
Second time Watts has come up this
Watts
week.
Watts or Compton, one of the two. It wasn't a good area.
Thought it was Watts.
I remember all the years I played baseball, no matter what age, first thing we did before every game, she took a lap around the field.
Got loosened up.
You don't have to sprint or anything. Took a simple lap around the field.
Calisthenics.
1 year I coached the league. I'm like, okay, guys, take one lap around before we warm up and then stretch. This mother laid into me like I was in boot camp. I said, just take a lap. I said, I didn't say go fast. Just go with your – just take a lap. My son has asthma. But, okay, well.
Can't take a lap?
can't take a lap? I mean, what's he going to do if he gets a triple? Stop and have you come out and give him his medication?
Wow.
Throw his hands up?
That's rough.
I said, no, now they're going to take two.
Just because of you, Mom, they're doing two laps now. I like that. All right, so you've coached the league. I've coached the league. Yep. You don't think you'll do it, Chris?
I'm telling you guys, I will get way too frustrated with those little kids. I have a high standard.
I enjoyed umpiring more than I umpired Little League and Babe Ruth.
I umpired
for two years.
Game.
I did too,
and I
blew a call at third that cost somebody a championship too.
Parents are insane. Yeah. Like arguing balls and strikes with me. It's an 8 and 9 year old league. I'm 14. I'm umping to help out.
Right, $10, right? $10, $5.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't even get paid.
Oh,
I got
really?
Community service.
Why were you doing community service?
They were in a bind. They needed one, so they go to the older kids in Little League, and who wants to ump?
It's part of his sentencing.
I was going to say, did you have some sentence?
He was in juvenile jail.
You're like, we'll give you community service hours for it. Like, okay, cool. Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, yelling at me. It's like, you get out here, ma'am.
Parents are tough, man.
We used to have the Parks and Recreation.
The old fatty.
The Parks and Recreation director from my old hometown would sit behind a home plate and always seemed to get his son's game. His son was the nicest kid, and this guy would ride him. And, you know, I'm 16 or 17, or no, I'm 19 or 18, umpiring 13, 14-year-olds, and it's just hard to listen to parents berate their children.
I had a buddy
at
who played Little League, and his older brother umped a game. And his older brother called him out at the plate.
Oh,
they got in a knockout fight at home.
That I haven't seen before. Brothers, that's interesting.
That's funny. You know, the umpire should throw obnoxious parents out of the game. You're out of here.
Well, I've seen it happen.
Junior high basketball, they threw out my friend's, our teammate's mother.
I'm sure she
deserved it. She didn't swear. She just said, why do you keep calling charge? Why do you keep calling? But, I mean, you know, it's just... Junior high referees, come on. I mean, it's crazy. I was very lucky.
Yeah,
my parents
punched a goalie in the face because he was tying his shoe.
I smacked him a little bit. Yeah, because
it was open palm.
Open palm with my hot. I didn't take my glove
off.
You
slapped him.
You're getting cut next week. We saw that happen in the NFL this week.
You pay attention. I don't care how many goals you're letting, but at least pay attention. Don't let one go in from the opposite end of the ice.
239, I was a ref for third and fourth grade basketball, and I tossed five parents out in one season. Best I ever felt.
Good for you after.
That's good. I saw parents throw down in the parking lot of my daughter's softball game after the game.
This is so sad, you know.
It was sad.
At least most of the time when I played, especially baseball and hockey, most of the parents got along. But,
you know,
there's always
did?
That one out of four, you know, that one person. Or a lot of times, I hate to say it, ladies, but a lot of times it was the moms.
Well, here's what happened that led to this fight. So these coaches are super competitive. It's just crazy. You know what? This wasn't in Texas. I take that back. This was when I lived in Los Angeles.
Wow, you think they'd be a little more mellow out there.
Yeah, they're not. So the team we were playing... They claimed that their quote-unquote worst player wasn't feeling well and asked the umpire to skip her turn in the batting order. And because of that, they were able to get to the top of their order. Their big kids came up and ended up with the winning score. And then later, the little kid was back out in the field. Like, they were fine. So I thought that was a scam. And then parents saw it and got mad, and there was a fight in the post because it was an elimination game. So they threw down.
There's a young lady here who coaches soccer and does very well.
Yes.
She's telling me of a story locally.
I was eavesdropping that story.
A couple weeks ago, or last weekend. You know, her team is ahead, 6 or 7 to 1. Okay. All of a sudden, parents from the other team start screaming at her and some of the players to stop running up the score.
Take it easy, man.
So
that's a learning experience.
My rebuttal would be, of course it is.
You've got to learn how to deal with loss.
And it's not like they were like, taking 50 shots on net, they eased off and were passing upon. But what parent of complaining about that? What would you like them to do? Just not be on the field, or how about just not have a goal? You just want to fire, you know, soccer balls into the net and have no. And is that gonna satisfy you? Is that gonna teach good sportsmanship?
No,
man. I mean, I'm telling you, the soccer parents around here are crazy.
Oh yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm done.
But you know
what?
It's not just here. It's around the country.
It is. It's
youth
nuts.
Soccer parents are out of control. I think a lot of youth hockey parents around the country are out of control.
And see, when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and my parents and our league's parents weren't crazy back then. This is a later generation thing.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have one nut job.
They were much more cordial back then.
Yes, they were. And you were just embarrassed. I mean, and there was always that one parent occasionally, you know, out of 50 kids that would say even the slightest thing, and you double take, go, wow, aren't you embarrassed?
Yeah.
Aren't you embarrassed? And your kid's embarrassed. I mean, God, thank God my parents just clap.
Yep.
You know, clap for everybody. Even your friends that are on the other team, they get up, they clap for them, too.
I was on the bench half the time, so there wasn't a lot of clapping for me, but that's okay. I was the kid you had to play, you know?
Earlier
in my first few baseball years, I was the kid that you had to play at least three innings. Now, later on, I got fair enough to Warner being in there all the time.
Yeah, we got one of our texters right now. Parents living through their children. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's like you felt like you didn't live up to your athletic potential when you suck. And you think that they're supposed to be, you know, all of a sudden a guy that couldn't make varsity football and the parent thinks their kid somehow is going to have the genetics to make it to the NFL. It doesn't work like that.
No. It's not like.
But doesn't it also seem like kids today, we talk about the parents, but the kids today aren't as intense. Like I was on my toes ready to
Fortnite.
Go. I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all pretty lackadaisical out there too. They're not the kid. They don't make kids the same way they used to back in the day.
Well, it's because they're like, ho-hum, I'm getting a trophy no matter what.
Well, they're enabled from a young age. They're enabled from a young age. They haven't been told how to lose, win with dignity and lose with dignity.
Yeah.
They don't know the difference. It's just win a championship or that's it.
Yeah,
it's not that's not it. It's about fundamentals. It's about learning how to play with teammates, good and bad, because you're going to get them in youth sports at all different levels.
Yep.
And learn to accept, I mean, you know, and support each other as opposed to screaming at each other because one kid may be a lot better than the other one, which you're going to find in ages 5 through 18. Really. Mm. It's always going to be that way. I really didn't understand that, you know, back then. I mean, there's so many. We had kids on our team that, on a Little League team one year. I mean, he was like 0 for 61. And you know how sometimes you have to. I used to bat third. I have a coach in third base.
Yeah.
This kid, Sal, came up and he was. He hit a double. It went, finally got at the ball.
What an awesome moment.
I felt like we won the World Series. We were way ahead.
Yeah.
He was so happy, and I went running out to second base and jumped on and hugged him because I was so happy for him.
But then you get parents on the other team who might say, oh, he's rubbing it in my kid's face because Johnny was the pitcher.
Yeah.
Johnny, throw a better pitch.
Please.
Don't hang a curveball in the top of the zone.
Those kids that were 1 for 61, I'd be teaching them how to bunt.
Well, no, but you didn't do that back then. You know, we're up by 8 or 9 runs, and you want to see everybody do well.
Yep.
And we were so happy for him when he got that hit. It was like, that's just great.
How did we get
made
here?
The year.
What?
The 7-year old.
Well, the 7-year old and then the soccer dad that pushed his kid into goal. Field Yates is coming up next from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming NFL weekend. You know, Field is a younger generation. We'll see if he's fresh off of experience. He's probably...
He's older than me.
Is he?
Not by much.
Is he in his 30s?
Yeah.
He looks really young. All right. Well, we'll see.
I think he's getting married soon.
How many years removed he is from
Little
League.
Don't do it, Field.
Field Yates is next.
Don't go down that path.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Craig Sheeman, Pete Shepherd, Southwest Florida sports leader, 99.3 ESPN.
Talking about the Steelers or the Bruins?
Steelers.
Or the Penguins.
Steelers.
Or the Pirates.
Steelers. We're going to talk a little NFL football here. Field Yates is with us from ESPN. He joins us each and every Friday. His appearance is brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out betterplantoday.com and schedule yourself a free consultation. Field, how are you, sir?
Hey, Field.
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
We're doing well. And before we get into our more serious NFL topic, we were just talking. Well, there's the story that's gone viral. I don't know if you've even seen it yet. There's this soccer dad, eight and under league.
You've seen it.
Pushes his kid back into the goal, knocks him down because he wasn't paying attention, but he throws him right into the ball and stops a goal and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, we got into trading horror stories about parents and Little League, whether we were coaching or whether we're playing. Certainly, you must have some kind of story from your childhood. I don't know which sports you played or if your parents were well-behaved, but anything come to mind while we're talking about these such things?
Well, you name a sport, and I played them all when I was a kid, that's for sure. Football, basketball, lacrosse, baseball, soccer, hockey, you name them all. You know, I had two very supportive parents in terms of you know, their athletic competition and encouraging me and my siblings to play the game. My mom, though, was, you know, at least in my mind, the loudest cheerer in the history of American pro sports. She was infamous. I guess I would say famous, not infamous. But, you know, when we were playing hockey or lacrosse, she'd say, go to the crease, go to the crease. Or in football, short sideline passes, short sideline passes. So she was you know, offensive coordinator from the football sidelines and ice hockey rink. Sidelines or the stands, whatever you might call it. So I always loved you. You knew your parents were there when you could hear your mom's voice.
That's good. That's so awesome. No parents getting into it in the parking lot like we had some experiences with. Nothing like that.
No, not that I remember. You know, my dad wouldn't, you know, he's from Hawaii. They're a laid-back lifestyle. He would hurt a fly. And, of course, my mom, being the wonderful woman she is, she was an ardent supporter, but no, never, ever got physical with anybody. At least in my experiences there.
Well, I mean, I've known you for a long time. I didn't know your dad was from Hawaii. So is he a big Alabama fan? Is he a big Tua fan? Because we have our producer, Chris, in the other room. You know, he's got posters of him all over his house.
Yeah, he certainly, you know, there's a lot of reverence for Tua and what he has done so far with Alabama. He's only just scratching the surface. You know, there's so much pride from those who hail from Hawaii. In the various people that have made a mark, you know, my dad, big Marcus Mariota fan. Mariota went to St. Louis High School, which is where my dad began his high school career, and my grandfather went there as well. So I tell you what, it's amazing to see how much they rally around those who come from their beautiful set of islands there. And Marcus Mariota, while he has had some ups and downs as an NFL quarterback, has done nothing but make those who know him from when he was either in high school or college very, very proud.
Field Yates is with us from ESPN with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. All right, now to the subject at hand. Let us start with last night's game and the Steelers and the Carolina Panthers. You know, we were just having a conversation yesterday about who is that next upper crust in the NFC right behind the Saints and the Rams. And we thought maybe it was the Carolina Panthers. But then again, road team on a Thursday night, who knows? But that felt like a little bit of a statement game with the Steelers and Le'Veon, you know, off in the distance. Watch, I mean, just it was a weird game last night.
It was, and this is one of those where I think that if they play that game 100 times, it's probably not nearly as close. I'm sorry, as disparate as last night's game was. It got away from the Panthers early on. That isn't to say that they're the better team than the Steelers, because the Steelers really just completely demolished them yesterday, but I do think that the Panthers have enough talent to be more competitive than what they showed last night. From the NFL, you don't get do-overs. And for the Steelers, what a critical win that was. And I'll say this, we talk about the offense with good reason in Pittsburgh all the time, but they are finding a way defensively, I'd say even more than finding a way, they're really piecing things together nicely. Been a much improved effort from all those with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the defensive side of the ball. Vince Williams, a linebacker, scores a touchdown yesterday. T.J. Watt was all over the field. So the Steelers, we know, are going to be able to put up points with the best of them. But if you're playing a Kansas City or a Los Angeles Chargers or New England Patriots in the playoffs, you're going to have to find a way to get some key stops. And the Pittsburgh defense is rounding into form right now in a way that didn't even seem possible at the beginning of the season.
Well, I mean, as always, a lot of intrigue. Despite the records and everything, you know, the Dolphins and Jets last week, Field, as you know, played one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life. And despite the Dolphins' wins, may have set the league back 10 years by how they performed. However, we all know the NFL is nuts. Everything changes on a weekly basis. Can the Dolphins go in? Are the Dolphins, could they catch the Packers at the right time here? Reeling a little bit from the beatdown they took against the Patriots last week. They're home, though. It's going to be freezing probably at Lambeau at 425, you know, on Sunday. Do the Dolphins have a chance to at least make this game respectable, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think they do. The spread's 9.5 points. And I think what we have to find out with the Packers, and who knows if we'll figure it out by this time or at any point soon, but the Packers have an unbelievable quarterback, and that's like the least breaking news statement I could ever make in my life, and Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know how good the rest of the roster is, guys. And they've been competitive over the past 2 weeks. The game with the Patriots was 14 points, but that obviously was a fourth quarter margin.
Yep.
And with the Rams, it went down to the final kickoff. But the Packers have some holes defensively. They have some injuries offensively. So I think the Dolphins can find a way. You know, the beginning of the year, you know, we know they have been up and down, right? The Dolphins are 2-4 in their last six games after a 3-0 start. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly curious to see whether Green Bay ever puts it all together and makes one last playoff push this season. It's getting late early for them because the Bears seem to be, you know, in pretty good shape, and we know the Vikings are very talented. So Green Bay is, I don't want to say playing elimination games from here on out, but they basically are, at least amongst the games that they should win based off of their talent and ability.
What about your thoughts with the Dolphins and Rashard Jones and just not returning to the game? I don't know if it's a beef with Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator. Adam Gase didn't seem too concerned about it. I would have been very concerned about it. I don't like it, but not too much information has come out on this story. Do you have anything to add there?
No, I don't have anything to add. And I would just say that, you know, there are times we have to take coaches at their word, and there are times where I think it's fair to wonder whether or not what a situation actually offers that goes beyond what we already know. And listen, when a player takes himself out of the game, and this is not some backup, you know, player that's playing 10 or 12 snaps, you're talking about, I think, you know, one of the Dolphins' most valuable defensive players when he's healthy and playing to his maximum ability. So family business will stay that way. I think there's a chance that we don't ever learn much more about this. But I think that a good coach, and I think that both Matt Burke and certainly Adam Gase are good coaches, will smooth this over in relatively short order, which as in like by Sunday. And they need Rashard Jones. You know, they need him. They need him because that Packers offense, even with injuries to Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb being iffy for Sunday, they need him to deter the passing game that, you know, Jimmy Graham has been better this year than he's been in a couple of years.
I think the Dallas Cowboys always draw. When is there not drama around Dallas? Now we have seven-year-olds writing letters. I read the whole letter on the air today. It was very emotional about Jerry Jones. but you know, here's Dallas last week, and they lose to the Titans, who are ranked 30th on offense. They're number one in points allowed. It's fantastic, but 30th on offense. Now they're going to head to Philadelphia. And I know on paper this looks like I've already heard it too many times, and blowout city, blah, blah, blah. Now, this same Philadelphia team whipped them in Dallas last year 37-9. But I think the second time that they played, what people don't remember, is Dallas went into Philadelphia last year and won 6-0, which in this day and age seems almost impossible. Can they pull off that miracle again, Field?
If I'm not mistaken, that was Week 17 last year, right?
Yes, so December 9th.
Almost like the fifth preseason game.
Yeah.
So I sort of look at it like that is, hey, you know, like, I don't know just how much to expect. I sort of feel like, you know, it may not be, like, that might be less indicative of how the game actually played out, right? Because, like, talent-wise. I don't know, guys. I don't know what to make of this Dallas team because they're good defensively and they can't get out of their own way on offense. I think Philadelphia is better than the record shows. But Philadelphia, I've been sort of feeling like they could be a sleeping giant, but it's got to start right away because they have very little margin for error. Not because the NFC East is very good, but just because if you don't, like, last year the Falcons were a pretty good team that was the sixth seed in the NFC, and it was going to take an absolute beast mode run to make noise in the NFC playoffs. Now, they beat the Rams in the first game, then they almost beat the Falcons in the second game, but like, it was going to be really difficult. Like, for a bigger picture standpoint, the NFC East, the champ, whoever it will eventually be, and I think Philadelphia's got a shot, has got to start finding their rhythm right now.
Speaking of the NFC East, final question for me. Eli Manning was told by Pat Shurmur, he says, look, I'm not making any guarantees past this Monday night's game against the 49ers at quarterback. We've all got to play better. Do you think he's greasing the skids to make the switch after Monday night at quarterback, whatever that switch may be?
I don't know, guys. I really don't have a great answer, and here's the reason why is I just don't know that Kyle LaLetta is ready. And, you know, I think I may have said this last week on the show, but, like, it's one thing to be physically ready, but you got to be, intangibles-wise, really ready. And when you get pulled over in the same spot back-to-back days, that's a lack of maturity that you can't have from an NFL quarterback. So we'll see whether or not the Giants make a switch. And I could be way off here. I tend to think that nothing happens before December when it comes to the Giants starting quarterback.
All right, one more I want to ask you. It's a fantasy question. He's having a hard, this guy is a 239 texter, wants to ask you, he's having a hard time on a trade offer. I trade Juju and Tevin Coleman off for Antonio Brown. I already have, forget it.
Why don't you ask him a personal fantasy for your lousy team, and then we'll send him on his way.
Six in a row. No, so anyway. No, but anyway, but College game day tomorrow at Alumni Stadium. That doesn't happen very often. Of course, the worst place in America to tailgate is at Boston College. We know that. But anyway, Clemson, BC tomorrow night. Is there a buzz up there?
I actually just came from Boston College right before this. Had a chance to go check out the setup there, and it's going to be terrific. And BC atmosphere, I think, has really changed under new leadership. Martin Jarman, the athletic director there for the past 12 to 18 months, has done a nice job of infusing some real energy into Chestnut Hill and into Boston College. And who knows how the game will play out, whether they can keep things competitive. But it's been a great buzz leading up to this game, and the program seems to be certainly going in the right direction.
Sweet. All right, Field, we'll let you get on your way. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Field.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Field Yates from ESPN, our NFL insider. His appearance is brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out their website at betterplantoday.com and schedule a free consultation. Coming up, we've got the Obscure Sports Minute, and then it is the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday. Pigskin Picks, Gabe Morenci. And who knows what else? Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
Oh, it all starts this weekend. The Grey Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
Kind of exciting. BC on Sunday at 1, the BC Lions going to Hamilton to take on the Tiger Cats. Then at 4:30, Sunday at 4:30, they're playing football, huh?
Yeah.
Not too bright up there in Canada. Winnipeg is at Saskatchewan. Staying with some playoffs, we have the, hold on, let me get the name right, the Audi 2018 MLS Cup playoffs. Mm-hmm. One series already in the books. Portland defeated Seattle on PKs, 4-2. Then on... when's November 11th?
Sunday.
You've got Sporting KC at Real Madrid, or at Real Salt Lake. New York Red Bulls and Columbus Crew. Columbus Crew have a 1-0 aggregate lead there. In Atlanta, hosting NYCFC, they hold a 1-0 aggregate lead. Staying with soccer, but going across the pond. Sunday morning, 11:30, it's the Manchester Derby. Man City hosting Manchester United. 11 o'clock or 11:30 kickoff. Check the game out on NBCSN. Not the only rivalry game across the pond either. Chelsea and Everton, a nice little battle of the blue bloods there.
Yeah, sounds huge.
Huge.
Don't mock the Obscure Sports
Minute. Why do you think I'm not? All I said is it sounds huge, and you've accused me of mocking it. You did that earlier today.
You're mocking it.
You think I have sarcasm just oozing out of my voice all the time.
On the poll, it's more part of the sensitivity training here, or the sensitivity poll we have going today.
Yeah, Chris is sensitive.
I've been accused of that a time or two. I try not to be either. That's the
really?
Yeah. Like I make a concerted effort.
Not to be sensitive about what? Your teams in general?
Yeah.
Or people that say things that we disagree with you?
Yeah, no, just life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to work hard at it.
I do.
But I think you let your guard down a lot.
You know what?
that's insensitive.
I feel like people enjoy my vulnerable state.
Well, you're easy to poke and prod. Makes for good radio sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, too. Love jabbing Pete between the ribs.
Very pokeable.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of my role on this show. Get you too fired up.
Get fired up.
Yeah, you're fired up. You know what? I'm fired
up. 2-9 for 1 is I bet Pete says it's going 7-0 this week. I said that every week.
Chris is going to say
I'm going to win at least 5. I'm going to win at least 5 of my 7.
Not me. 7-0, boys.
I might go 7-0.
You know what? I'm at the point where I just pretty much need to go 4-3 the rest of the way, and I'm pretty solid.
You're going to retain it. Like the Ryder Cup. You're not going for the 14.5 points.
That's right.
You just need the 14.
Yep.
The tie keeps the cup with you. You'll be good to go.
Can you imagine if I'm a back-to-back two-time champ of the Pigskin Picks? I mean, you guys are running out of weeks.
But see, I'm not three games behind you.
If either one of us won, it would be 52 weeks of, I mean, banging that drum. Right.
Yeah?
You're probably the best person to win, to be honest. Because you're not going to be the loud, over-the-top one about it. If I ever win this thing,
Be a great comeback.
Mm. Oh, well. Can I point out something to an obvious stupid listener? 239. Because, you know, we have fun with soccer and the obscure sportsmen.
Love soccer. I really do.
Says, do you have any idea how many fans switch stations when you start
the nobody.
Soccer?
Nobody. Because you just listen through it.
His text came at 3:54. We were done with that 2 minutes. He stayed.
He stayed.
He stayed.
You took the bait, 239. You took the bait.
That's great.
My hope is eventually one day, like people say, you know what? I heard Chris talking about this soccer match on Friday.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to flip it on. I'm going to see what all the fuss is about for the world's game. Right. I'm going to see what Man City, Man U is all about Sunday morning, 11:30. Or you can go watch another pregame show.
Well, I think you were more effective in alerting people that the Grey Cup playoffs have started for
It's exciting stuff.
Sure.
It is.
Does everybody make it? Is Johnny Man?
No. More than half the teams make it, though.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe 6 of the 9 teams in the league make it, and Johnny Football's team did not.
All right. Speaking of real sports, the NFL and college football around the corner. Don't worry, 239. We're back on track for you since you're still listening through the top of the hour. We've got the Pigskin Picks. They're next. Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.